So after opening up my heart to you last week, I reflected on my failures to my Valentine. And so I have decided to change and establish a new relationship, to make an agreement that I will do all the work necessary to build our relationship, to prove her value to me. I promise to love her no matter what. I will do all the work around our home tirelessly and without complaint. Any misstep or any error on her part, I will take the blame. Wreck the car? My fault. If she does anything to anger me, I'll just get mad at myself. And this is the promise, the pledge that I make. Outlandish, don't you think? Just a little bit? That gives us some insight in what God has done for us. How the God of creation has established relationship with what He created. What a mystery. What a mystery. Particularly when you think of the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. God is giving them instructions. And He tells them, now one last thing, don't eat the forbidden fruit. And they ask God, forbidden fruit? No way are you to take part of the forbidden fruit. Where is it? They ask. Don't eat of it, God tells them. They both speak up. Why? Because I'm God and I said so. Well, not just a few minutes later, God's walking through the garden and there at the base of the tree sit Adam and Eve eating the fruit that is forbidden. Didn't I tell you not to do that? God said, well, yes, they both nodded their heads. Well, why? They both shrugged their shoulders. I don't know. Then Adam said, she started it. Eve says, did not. Did so. Did not. Did so. Did not. And it goes on and on and on. It was then that God decided that forever He would give them children of their own. The great mystery of the God of creation going to great lengths to have relationship with those He created. To understand the depth of God's love is necessary to understand the commitment that God made. We look at the cultural practice of covenant. Of covenant. A covenant is more than an agreement. It is more than a contract. It establishes a relationship. And in that relationship, each of the two parties makes specific promises. And then can expect certain benefits. But there are also penalties that the promises are broken. But yet they are bound together permanently and always. The practice of the covenant is filled with symbolism. In this case, we read of the cutting of the covenant. It is not made, but it is cut. Because it includes the slaughtering of animals and the use of their blood. It is a promise to give one's life and to invite the penalty of the shedding of one's blood for failure. Now, in this case with God, the covenant is between unequal parties, the greater one and the lesser. It is established by the superior party. It is God who takes the initiative, initiative that the people could never take, that could not be done by the lesser party. But God puts it in motion. And the use of the covenant is to create a bond. And even furthermore, God is willing to prove His devotion. And so we turn to the story of Abraham. Promises have been made by God to Abraham. He had promised Abraham a nation and offspring, descendants as many as the stars in the sky, and a blessing upon them. And so now God addresses the fears of Abraham, the doubts that fill him, and gives him reassurance, and formalizes the relationship in the blood covenant. So Abraham makes the preparations as instructed. When the sun has gone down, we are told that a terrifying darkness comes and fills him because he knows what is about to take place and recognizes his position. And then we are told about passing between the pieces of the animals that had been slaughtered. Walking the blood path is God alone, symbolized by the smoke and by the fire. God alone walks that path. And by walking the blood path, God is willing to offer His own life for the covenant. But it is God alone who makes that walk. And we recognize God is also willing to pay the price for failure on the part of Abraham, for failure on the part of humanity, with whom God is now in relationship. In Jesus, we fully understand God's love, for it is Jesus who gives Himself to pay that penalty, seal the covenant promise, to maintain the relationship. There is a man who reached his older years, and upon reflection, he still held a great deal of remorse for some actions he had taken years and years and years before during his college days. One day at church, he met a devout woman, and the woman told him that she had visions, that Jesus would come and speak to her. The man was very skeptical about this. And so he said to her, the next time Jesus comes to you and speaks to you, ask Him about the sin of my college days. Sometime later then, he encounters the woman at church and he asks her, did Jesus visit you? She says, yes. Did you ask Him what I mentioned? Again, she says, yes. What did He say? And the woman replies, He said, I don't remember. I don't remember. In Jesus, we fully understand God's love. It is not by chance that the temple in Jerusalem existed during the days in the ministry of Jesus. It had been rebuilt in all its glory by the lifetime of Jesus. King Herod had built it to appease the people of Israel, to give them their temple. But it's a temple that sets the stage. The central act of the temple were daily sacrifices. Daily. At set times during the days. And by these sacrifices, there's recognition of that covenant history that God had made with Abraham. And the shedding of the blood of the animals during these sacrifices was an act of gaining atonement, of finding favor from God, of strengthening the relationship, but also, and perhaps more importantly, reminding God of the covenant that He had established. These temple sacrifices were never ending, day after day, time after time. Jesus brings a movement to take the people from the temple and to look for God in Jesus rather than the temple. For it is the blood of Jesus that would atone. The blood of Jesus that is shed once and for all. And through Jesus we see that the price for covenant failure is paid by God. We gather together on a wonderful day such as today in remembrance. In Matthew, Jesus says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Outlandish, isn't it? This covenant that God makes. And to make it even more outlandish, the covenant is everlasting. Amen.